applications that would change social and economic commerce, change the way that knowledge is created and distributed, and change the nature and structure of the workforce. The concept resonated. It was intuitively comfortable. It was consistent with my view of the world. The term post-industrial society was used to describe a series of macroeconomic and social changes in the global economic structure on the order of magnitude of the Industrial Revolution. Bell developed this theory in the context of the history of economic civilization, positing three constructs: pre-industrial, industrial, and post-industrial. Pre-industrial societies. Bell described pre-industrial society as a game against nature. In a pre-industrial society, raw muscle power is applied against nature, primarily in extractive industries, fishing, mining, farming, forestry. The transformative energy is human. Muscle power is moderated by the vicissitudes of nature. There is a high dependence upon natural forces, rain, sun, wind. The main social unit is the extended household. Pre-industrial societies are primarily agrarian structures in traditional manners of rhythm and authority. Productivity is low. In pre-industrial societies, power is held by those who control the scarcest resources, in this case, land. The dominant figures are the landowners and the military. The economic unit is the farm or plantation. The means of power is direct control by force. Access to power is primarily determined by either inheritance or military invasion and seizure. Industrial societies. Bell described goods-producing industrial societies as a game against fabricated nature. The machine predominates, he wrote, and the rhythms of life are mechanically paced. Time is chronological, methodical, evenly spaced. It is a world of coordination in which men, materials, and markets are dovetailed for the production and distribution of goods. The game is about the aggregation of capital to establish manufacturing enterprises and apply energy to transform the natural into the technical. In industrial societies, the scarcest resource is access to various forms of capital, especially machinery. The essential economic unit is the company. The dominant figure is the business leader. The transformative energy is mechanical. The means of power is the indirect influence of the company. Bell argues that the function of organizations is to deal with the requirements of roles, not individuals. Power is determined by ownership of property, political structure, and technical skill. Access to power is through inheritance, patronage, and education. Post-industrial societies. A post-industrial society is about the delivery of services. It is a game between people. It is powered by information, not muscle power, not mechanical energy. If an industrial society is defined by the quantity of goods as marking a standard of living, the post-industrial society is defined by the quality of life as measured by the services and amenities, health, education, recreation, and the arts that are now available for everyone. The core element is the professional, as he or she is equipped with the education and training to provide the skills necessary to enable the post-industrial society. This portends the rise of the intellectual elite, the knowledge worker. Universities become preeminent. A nation's strength is determined by its scientific capacity. In a post-industrial society, the primary resource is knowledge. Data becomes the currency of the realm. The most data, the greatest volume, the more accurate, the timelier, yields the most power. The central focus is the university. Researchers and scientists, including computer scientists, become the most powerful players. Class structure is determined by technical skills and levels of education. Access to power is provided by education. Bell traced the evolution of the U.S. economy from a pre-industrial agrarian society as recently as 1900 to an industrial society in the mid-century to a post-industrial society by 1970. He supported his argument with an analysis